Amen, amen. Well, are you guys ready for an exciting word this morning? I got to tell you that Friday, how many were with us on Friday? Yeah, great service that was. As we get into this Resurrection Sunday, Sunday is about victory. Sunday is about having the Lord come through when you thought He wouldn't. It's amazing how Friday was what appeared to be one of the worst days for the ministry of Jesus Christ. As He hung on that cross, it looked hopeless. It looked like nothing else was going to come out of it. Friday, it, for me, represents something tragic in your life. So I know this morning, there's something in your life that has just caused such tragedy, such pain, such loneliness. Saturday is the in-between, the middle, from victory and from your past. And I want to tell you that sometimes the middle is worse than yesterday. The middle to me represents, that Saturday represents when you've come through something so bad and something so painful, but right now Saturday is a day of silence. It's when God is not speaking, God is not revealing Himself, and you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So maybe you're in this church this morning and you're in the middle. You're saying, Pastor, I don't know what my future holds. I don't know what's going to happen. God's not showing me. God's not answering my prayers, and God is silent. I know what that's like. And I'm going to tell you right now in Jesus' name, your Sunday is here today. Sunday represents the day of resurrection, the day that God fulfills His promises, the day that God accomplishes what He said He would accomplish. Sunday represents you overcoming the impossible, overcoming the haters that said you wouldn't make it. Sunday represents the day God says, I told you so. And maybe right now it's hard for you to believe in a Sunday. But the Bible says in the book of Romans that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So right now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your life may be under. But I want to preach a powerful message on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to do it about Jesus. I'll mention Him. I'm not going to do it about the disciples. Because here's the thing the Lord put in my heart. During this time of Easter, we spend a lot of time talking about Jesus and the disciples and the men. But I read the story of Easter, and I got to tell you, there's some pretty powerful women in the story of Easter. Where are my women at? We're going to talk about some women today. I know the guys are like, oh, here it goes. But listen, it's funny how the disciples, the men, ran and hid. But the women, they got up. And they went to the tomb knowing it can cost them their life. See, sometimes I think women can teach us something. I think women are stronger. That's why God made them responsible for giving birth. Because men, we can't handle the pain. But I'm going to talk about women that had a resurrection experience themselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that You anoint this word. As we come, Lord, we're coming from a Friday of pain, a Saturday of silence, and we're expecting a Sunday of resurrection. So I pray, God, that You would anoint this word for anyone here today or listening online, Lord. Teach us what happened that day, the greatest day of Your ministry. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we look at the story of Easter, I want to look through the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 1. And the Bible says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, this is when everyone was asleep and no one was at work and nothing was going on, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, meaning they were confused, scared, suddenly two men in clothes gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. And in their fear, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, now notice this question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. Remember what he told you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He must be crucified. And on the third day, be raised again. Then they remembered. Then they remembered his words. And here is the inspiration behind all of this message. Verse 9. When they came back from the tomb. When they came back from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Amen. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Come Back from Your Tomb. The women woke up Sunday. If they would have remembered what Jesus said to them, if they would have remembered that Jesus said, I'm going to rise again on Sunday, on the third day, the women would not have been so discouraged. The women would not have been so sad. The women would not have felt so hopeless. But as these women woke up early that morning, they're on their way to the graveyard, and there's a feeling of despair. Because what should have been a day of joy, what should have been a day of celebrating, what should have been a day of excitement, became a day of sadness for them, hopelessness for them, and even fear. And when I read that, I said to myself, how does someone allow themselves to be so discouraged, to be so hopeless, to feel so afraid? And the Bible says it's because, in verse 8, they forgot the word of Jesus. Jesus told them he would rise. And I said to myself, how can they forget such a promise? How can they forget something like that amazing that Jesus says, I'm coming back from the dead? And then I realized, sometimes you can go through so much in your life. Sometimes you can go through such tragedy and trial and pain. Sometimes you can suffer so much as they did on that Friday when they witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus, when they saw everything take place. It was such a tragedy to them that they forgot the promise of God. And this is what the Lord showed me. Sometimes our problems and our suffering is so severe, it causes you to forget the Word of God. And you can forget the promises in His Word. You've allowed your problems and your struggles and your challenges to cause you to forget the promises of God. So you can't hold it against these women, because we do the same ourselves. Anyone that walks through life depressed and discouraged and afraid is clearly someone that has forgotten the word of God. They forgot the words of Jesus. So they began to prepare these spices of frankincense and myrrh. And these spices were used to lay and just be poured on dead bodies. And as the women were walking towards the tomb, I started thinking to myself, who are these women? Because the disciples weren't around. The Roman soldiers weren't around. And I love it because while others were running away, these women were running towards. And that's courage. That's strength. The women that were walking to the tomb, one of them was named Joanna. Now, Joanna was not your typical woman in the Bible. See, in the Bible, the women, there was a society that said women were supposed to stay at home and raise children and serve their husbands. Not Joanna. Joanna is what we call a boss. She was. Did you know that Joanna was a manager of Herod's palace, of his household? So the person of high rank, high position and influence. She had a job when other women didn't even know what that was. She got up every morning to go to work. The Bible says Joanna made money. Did you know that Joanna gave money constantly to the ministry of Jesus? And she was the reason that the ministry kept going and being supported. Joanna was the sole provider for the ministry of Jesus Christ. And she knew what it was to be in power and have position. But then she met Jesus. She gave everything to him. She left her job. She left her position. She left her power to just follow him. Do you love Jesus that much? Oh, and then there's Mary Magdalene. We all know her because we know the bad girls. Y'all didn't know who Joanna was. But if I say, oh, you know who Mary Magdalene is? I know Mary Magdalene. You know her last name is not Magdalene, by the way. The reason they call her Mary Magdalene is because she was from an island known as Magdala. The island of Magdala was an island filled with prostitutes, partying, and sin. She was so bad, they literally nicknamed her after a sinful island. It reminds me that people will only remember your past. She is known by who she used to be. There is Mary Magdalene. You know, hey Magdalene. Because she was the one that no one forgot. She represents the one, the ultimate sinner of all sinners, Mary Magdalene. And the Bible says that Mary, in Luke 8, was possessed by 7 demons. 7. In other words, Mary Magdalene was living such a sinful life, it attracted demons in her life, and the devil had a hold on her life. She was in bondage to sexual immorality. She was in bondage to men. She was in bondage to sin. And the devil had her until people threw her to the ground as a worthless prostitute. And then she met Jesus, who put value back in her, who picked her up and said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And said, "I don't condemn you." Because we don't serve a God of condemnation. We serve a God of restoration. And Mary Magdalene was picked up. And she followed Jesus. So now we have Joanna the boss. And Mary Magdalene, the hoochie, the crazy one. If this describes any of you, you might be called to ministry. These women were powerful. But here's what I want you to get this morning. The women were preparing the spices. The spices were used to be laid upon the body that were dead. See, this is what reminds me, this is what shows me why they forgot the word of Jesus. Because had they remembered he was going to rise again, they would not have wasted their time making those spices, because those spices were only used when someone was dead. But if Jesus was not dead, why are you making your spices? And this is the word that I have for you this morning. Some of you are wasting your time thinking that something is dead and hopeless when Jesus has resurrected it. And it's not over for you. It's not hopeless for you. But some of you, you came into forward this morning holding your little spices. And it's over. It's dead. It's hopeless. It's never going to change. You see, I wonder, like these women, they woke up that Resurrection Sunday, sad, hopeless, afraid, and discouraged. Maybe you woke up this Easter Resurrection Sunday and you were late to sadness. You were late to hopelessness. You were late to fear. You were late to discouragement because you've gone through so much. You've gone through so much hurt. You've been through so much rejection, and people have hurt you, that now you're going through challenges and struggles, that you've prepared your spice. You've prepared your spice. Something in your life right now, you're telling yourself, will never change. There's something in your life right now, you're saying, it's never going to come back. There's something in your life right now, you tell God, it's never going to be delivered. And I wonder who I'm speaking to this morning in this church, that you're saying, I've just covered this as hopeless. You've put spices on your dreams. You're thinking your dreams are over. It's gone. Maybe you've put spices on your marriage. You're saying it's never going to heal. It's never going to be restored. We're going to end up divorcing. Maybe you put spices on your children. They're never going to change. They're never come to the Lord. Maybe you're putting spices on your health. And you're saying, I'm never going to be healed. I'm always going to be sick. I'm never going to change. You'll be surprised how many people prepare spices over things they think are over. They think is dead, when they're very much alive. What a waste of time these women spent preparing something they were not going to use. And I'm telling you that you're wasting your time thinking that your life is over, thinking that nothing good is ever going to come out of it, thinking that nothing's ever going to change. And you're wasting your time because you have forgotten the power that God has to raise things that you yourself are saying is dead. What's so fascinating about these spices that they carried and that they prepared was that these spices were used to cover up the stench of the body, to cover up how bad it stunk. And when I read that, I said to myself, we can become experts in covering up how bad our life stinks. We can become so good at pretending life is great. And you're walking around with your head tall. You're walking around with your little smile and Bible in your hand. You're walking around holding your hand to that spouse. But if people really knew how bad this marriage stinks, the person that I'm holding literally stinks, they don't know, but I'm just going to cover it up. If they only knew how bad my life stunk, how I hated my job, and my job stinks, my marriage stinks, my finances stink, my health stinks, but I'm just going to cover it up. And maybe you're in this church this morning and it's all a cover up. And you're pretending that everything is fine and everything is joyful and everything is happy. But deep down inside, you're covering the reality of what stinks in your life. And I know I'm not preaching to myself this morning. There's a lot of you that came to this church. And your life stinks. You're unhappy. You're miserable. You're discouraged, depressed, hopeless. And the best thing you can do is just say, I'm just going to live to cover up the stinkiness of my life. That is no way for anyone to live. What a waste of time preparing these spices to cover up something that did not stink. Because I want to tell you that when it comes to Jesus and your life with Jesus, nothing stinks about it. And He can give you life. He can give you peace. He can give you joy. There's no reason for you to live your life preparing your spice. You're just walking through life covering up the reality of how bad things are. You're walking through life carrying the spice, telling yourself, this is never going to change. My life is over. My life is hopeless. Things are never going to get better. And I'm telling you right now, maybe this morning before church, you were preparing your little spice to cover up your sin, to cover up the truth, to cover up your life. You're going to put on the smile. You're going to wear your Sunday best. You're going to give hugs and kisses. You're going to fellowship with everyone in this church. But no one inside is going to really know how bad my life stinks. And it's all a cover. And this is what God says in verse 5 and 6. As these women, so Joanna the boss and Mary Magdalene, now you know who, and they're walking towards the tomb, the angel stops them and says, a powerful question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? This is an angel, which is a messenger from God. So this is literally God in heaven giving a message to earth. Why are you searching for life among the dead? Why are you searching in this place? Why are you here? You don't belong here. You're wasting your time here. So these women were not only carrying the wrong spice, they were in the wrong place. So they had the wrong mindset, and now they're in the wrong place. And the angel tells them, why are you searching for the living amongst the dead? See, the women were sad and hopeless, not only because of the wrong mindset, but also because their search came up empty. And I know a lot of people I meet and I counsel and I talk with, you're searching. You're searching for life. You're searching for joy. You're searching for peace. You're searching for purpose. And the problem is not what you're searching for. If you're searching for love, if you're searching for purpose, if you're searching for joy, if you're searching for peace, there's nothing wrong with searching for those things, because those things are natural in us. God put that in us. We're supposed to search and want love. We're supposed to search for joy. We're supposed to search for peace. We're supposed to search for purpose. God has placed that in us. So what you're searching for this morning is not wrong. What's wrong is where you're searching. It's not the what that's the problem. It's the where that's the problem. You're saying, Pastor, I'm looking for love. I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for contentment. I'm looking for joy. I'm looking for purpose. And that's fine. I don't disagree with that. My question to you is, where are you searching for those things? Because I'll tell you that if you're searching for those things in the wrong places, like those women, your search is going to come back empty. And this is why so many people live a life of discontentment and they're not satisfied and they go from pleasure to pleasure, from marriage to marriage, from relationship to relationship, from house to house, car to car, job to job, because you're searching for something and when you think you found it, it's empty. You're discouraged. It's not what you're looking for. It's where that has you so empty. You're looking for love in people. You're looking for love in relationships, or think that love happens when you get married. Huh, you haven't been married. You think love happens once you have surrounded by friends. You think love is being surrounded by people. Until those people leave you, those relationships are gone, those friends are nowhere to be found, and that marriage ends, then your love is gone because you placed your love on a person and people are not perfect. This was Mary Magdalene's problem. She was searching. Searching for love, and she tried to find it in men. When she couldn't find love in men, she says, well, I'll find it in money. And if I have money, I'll be happy. She had position. She had a great reputation. She was the life of the party. Because no one gets named Magdalene if they're not the best at the party. But it got her nowhere. This is why your search is coming back empty. Because you're just saying, well, I'm looking for love and they didn't work out and this didn't work out and that didn't work out because only Jesus can work it out. You're searching for purpose. You're searching for position and power. That was Joanna. Joanna the boss, I'm telling you, she had men working for her. In a society where men never worked for a woman, she was the one in charge. She had money. She had power. She had position. She had status. But it was still not enough for her. For those who think, well, once I have the promotion, once I have the job, once I have the popularity, once I have the status, once I've reached the top, then I'll be happy. But you seem to realize soon that the top is a very lonely place. And Joanna realized that she needed Jesus. You're searching for joy in pleasure. You think joy comes in what you have. Joy is money. Joy is positions and possessions. If I have the car, if I have the house, if I do the vacations, if I wear the finest clothes, if I own this and own that, and if I just have all this pleasure, if I have the drugs, if I have the alcohol, if I go to the parties and the clubs, if I have all the pleasure in the world, I'm telling you, there are people living for pleasure, but their tomb is empty. And they're still searching. And they're still discontent and unhappy. I've met some of the most successful people that are miserable. People that we would envy. But the search is empty. What do you do when you're searching but not finding? What do you do when you're searching but it's not satisfying? Because some of you here, you're listening online, you're searching and you're trying out and you're going from relationship to relationship, from bedroom to bedroom, from bottle to bottle, from drug to drug, from all these places, trying to find life and love and meaning and purpose. But in the end of it all, when you're by yourself, you realize your search is empty. And God looked at them like He's looking at you. And He's saying to you, you're in the wrong place. What, you think those people are going to satisfy you? You think once you have that, you're going to be happy? You think once you accomplish this, you will be satisfied? God is looking at you right now. Like He looked at those women through that angel with the same message. Why are you searching there? Why are you searching for something that only Jesus can give you? And you're wasting your life, the precious life God has given you, and you're wasting it searching in places that are only going to leave you empty. And that is the saddest life to live. As these women walked discouraged and hopeless, and they felt like giving up, the angel reminded them, your problem is not what you're searching for, because you're searching for Jesus. That's the right thing. But it's where you're searching for Him. Let me tell you that Jesus says, I am life, I am joy, I am peace, I am fulfillment, I am strength. You're searching for Jesus and you didn't even know it. Did you know that? Every person in this world is searching for Jesus. You might be thinking, no, I don't think so. Yes, because wherever someone is searching for love, they're searching for Jesus, because God is love. Whenever someone is searching for peace and contentment, they're searching for Jesus, because God says, only I can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Whenever you're trying to find purpose, God says, listen, only I can give you purpose. People are searching for Jesus and they didn't even know it. Because they're searching in the wrong place. And some of you have real estate in tombs. You're just always searching. Always going to the wrong people, the wrong relationships, the wrong places, doing the wrong things. And then asking yourself, why am I not happy? Why am I not satisfied? Why am I so discontent? It's because you need to truly find what you're looking for only in the one that can give it to you. And His name is Jesus. Have you met Him yet? So the angel looks at them and says, you're in the wrong place. Did you forget His word? So I want to close with this here. Many people say, I'm just not happy anymore. I'm just not fulfilled anymore. I'm just not satisfied anymore. Many people say, well, I don't know what's missing in my life. But I don't feel like I'm complete. I don't feel like I feel like there's something missing. And I know that some of you feel like there's something just missing and empty. You know, the reason that these women were so sad and discouraged was because as they're walking to the tomb, they're remembering what Jesus did for them. You know, sometimes the saddest things is what you remember. And you're remembering a time when life was good and life was happy, and you're remembering a time where everything was fine. But now these women are walking to the tomb. And they're hopeless and they're afraid and they're discouraged and they feel like it's over, because they almost think they're thinking that nothing good was going to happen. And when they got to their tomb with their spices, the spices that represented death, the angel stopped them and said, "Joanna, you're searching in the wrong place. Mary, you're searching in the wrong place. You don't belong here. Jesus has moved on." Let me tell you right now, you may be in the wrong place right now. You may be feeling empty and hopeless. You may be feeling like life is never going to be satisfying for you. You're searching for love. You're searching for joy. You're searching for peace. But the same way Jesus moved on from the tomb, he wants you to move on from yours. Some of you, you're in the tomb, discouraged and hopeless and lost, because what you thought you were going to find in that thing, in that person, in that place, came back empty. And you wasted your time. You wasted your effort. You searched for that. You thought that was the answer. Mary thought, well, he's in the tomb. That's where he's at. Let's go. And they came back empty. One of the worst things to feel is to feel the feeling of saying, "I wasted my time." And this is where it gets interesting for me. In verse 9, the Bible says, when they came back from what? The tomb. Let me just blow your mind here for a minute. During Easter, we seem to think that only Jesus was in the tomb. But the Bible says here that these women were in the tomb as well. The only difference is they weren't dead. But they were in the tomb. So they were alive in a dead place. And can I tell you what the Bible says? You can be alive and dead at the same time. Thinking, well, how? Ephesians 2 says it clearly in verse 1. Ephesians 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and what? And your sins." Did you know you can be alive and dead at the same time? You may be thinking you're alive right now because you're breathing and you're walking. And yes, you're physically alive, but you might be spiritually dead because of your sin. And the Bible says, "In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And then the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." But notice what the Bible says next here. The Bible says all of us lived among them at one time. You used to be dead in your sin, gratifying the craving of the sinful nature, searching for pleasure and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. God said because of those sins, we deserved the wrath of God. But I love it when the Bible has a but for us. But because of His great love, the greatest love you can ever find is in Him. Not a husband, not a girlfriend, not a friend, not a person. Because of His great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy. Mercy is when you withhold the punishment someone deserves. All of us deserve punishment. All of us deserve to go to hell. All of us deserve because of our sin. But because of the great love and mercy God had, He made us alive. with Christ, even when we were dead in our sin. Because it is by grace you have been saved. You could be alive and dead at the same time, the same way Mary's, all the Marys were alive and in the tomb. But the Bible says, going back to verse 9, they came back from the tomb. And I'm here with a message this Resurrection Sunday to tell you that Jesus wants a comeback for you. That God wants you to come back from your tomb. Whatever your tomb represents. Whatever has you hopeless and empty and discontent and discouraged and depressed. Whatever has left you broken. Jesus says, listen, I want you to come back from that place. You can come back from your grave. Just like Jesus did. It was there that the Marys realized. The women realized. We wasted our time preparing this spice. We spent all night working on this spice for something that wasn't dead, that wasn't hopeless. And I want to tell you this morning, you might be thinking that you're hopeless. You might be thinking your life is over. You might be thinking God wants nothing to do with you. But I'm telling you right now, by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, you can experience the same resurrection that He did when He was in the tomb, and you can come back from yours. You can come back from your tomb. You don't have to be searching anymore. The search stops here. If you're searching for love, if you're searching for purpose, if you're searching for feeling of power and the feeling of just feeling this contentment and saying, I just want to feel life again, you could only find it in Jesus. And they left that too. So maybe God is asking you this morning, why are you searching for something that only I can give you? Why are you searching for something that I died for you to have? Do you realize that when these women got up early in the morning, after a long night of preparing spices, walking miles to that tomb, it was all a waste of time? Because had they remembered the promises of Jesus, they would have just waited for Him to show up. And I feel like there's someone in this church today or listening online, and I'm going to tell you directly to your face right now, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time just searching for love and for peace and for joy and for purpose, because you're wasting it in all the wrong places. Because the greatest fulfillment you can ever have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Imagine these women holding on to the spice they never used. So you're calling things dead that are very much alive. You're thinking it's hopeless. You're thinking it's over. But God says to you right now, why are you here? Why are you searching? And the angel pointed them to Jesus. And today I'm pointing you to Jesus. And I want you to remember His promises in case you've forgotten, that God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. You're saying, well, why would He do that? We just read it. Because of grace and mercy and love. It didn't have anything to do with you. It wasn't because you were a good person. It wasn't because, you know, you did something. No, He did it just because God is a God of love, mercy, and grace. Mercy is when God withholds the punishment that we deserve. And grace is when God gives you love you don't deserve. And all of us here, if we're real with ourselves, we know we shouldn't even be in this church right now. We shouldn't even be worshiping God right now. Because some of you know the tombs you used to live in. But because of His grace, He loves you. He died for you. And the same way the message came to those women, you're wasting your time. You're searching in empty places. I'm telling you that if it's not Jesus, you're searching in empty places. That thing you think you need, if it ain't Jesus, you don't need it. If you think, well, this is what I need to be happy, this is what I need to have love, this is what I need to have purpose, and if what you need is not named Jesus, you are walking into an empty tomb. And you're walking with your little spice, hopeless and discouraged. Isn't it interesting? They came to the tomb discouraged and they left the tomb overwhelmed with joy. Because that's what Jesus says. You are on your way to the grave, but now you've come out of it full of life and joy. And they began to witness to the men. The first evangelists were women. Don't tell me women can't be in ministry. Because Jesus needed Joanna. I need your money. I need your power. I need your influence. So when Mary Magdalene came out of that tomb, she says, oh, he's still Jesus. Oh, he's surprising me. When Joanna got out of that tomb, she says, oh, this is typical of Jesus. He always seems to surprise me in the end. And he changes everything around. Jesus has a surprise for you. But you won't see it until you give your life to him. Let's pray. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you this morning the same question the angel asked. It was the first question of Easter. The first question of Easter. The first question on Resurrection Sunday was the question I'm going to ask you. Why are you searching for the living, for life, in the wrong places? You might be here this morning and your search has been empty. You might be like Mary Magdalene. You're just living a life of pleasure and money and living a life of party and sin. But realizing that you still have something missing. You might be Joanna. You might be a person of influence and power and position and possessions. You might be strong and powerful, successful. You probably have a life to be envied. But why are you still empty? If you feel empty in your life, it's because you are. If you feel emptiness in your life, it's because Jesus is not there. It's just a tomb. You're living your life holding on to spices. You're living like you're dead. My prayer for you this morning is that you would find what you're searching for in the one and the only one who can give it to you. And his name is Jesus. There is no greater love in this life you will ever experience than the love that only Jesus can give you. there's no greater purpose that you could ever have than the purpose God can give you. There's no greater joy, no greater peace than the peace that only God can give you. So if you're empty, you're hopeless, and you're discouraged, and you're saying, Pastor, I just feel like my search is empty and I'm searching in the wrong places. If you feel empty, it's because you are empty. And like that angel tells the women, I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time and your effort and your energy on things and people that will never satisfy you like the God in heaven can. Because the pleasure ends, the money runs out, the friends go away, the party ends too. And then you're left empty. But the same way the angel pointed them to Jesus, I'm pointing you to Him as well. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, God sees your emptiness. He sees your void. He sees how discontent you are. I think this is why God says He's a jealous God, because He sees you searching for love. He sees you searching for purpose and fulfillment, and knows that only He can give you that, but you're searching in the wrong place. So He naturally gets jealous. So if you're here this morning, I want to tell you, by His grace and by His mercy, Jesus died on that cross on Friday, carrying the sins that we committed, the sins that we deserve punishment for. And the Bible says if anyone believes that Jesus died on that cross and rose again, if anyone confesses that Jesus is Lord, he will be saved. This is you this morning. You're saying, Pastor, I want my life to start with Jesus now. My life is hopeless. My life is filled with discontentment. I'm living undercover. It really stinks. All of it is just the cover of the smile that I wear, the laughter that I express, the way that I walk. It's all a cover. My life truly stinks. It's just the spices. Jesus made it so easy for you. He says, just believe in me. Believe that you're a sinner. Believe that I died for those sins. And I'm the only way to God the Father in heaven. And when you place all my trust in me, you will be saved. So if that's you this morning, right where you're at, I want you to put your hand up and say, Pastor, I want to begin my life with Jesus today. If you're saying, Pastor, my search is empty. My life is hopeless. And if you're listening online, I want to lead you in this prayer as well. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, well, Pastor, I have Jesus in my life, but I feel discontent. I feel dissatisfied. And maybe because at one point Jesus was everything in your life, but now He's not. And you've been distracted. You don't spend time with Him like you used to. You don't love Him like you used to. You don't worship Him like you used to. It's no wonder you feel so dead while you're very much alive. It's easy for you as well. Just come back to Jesus. Can we all stand to our feet today? As I lead those here and those online in this prayer, would you pray this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, searching in the wrong places. And today, I surrender my life to you. Just ask Jesus right now to forgive you of your sin. Just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins as I place my faith and my trust in you. You are God and the only way to the Father. And today I surrender to you. Forgive me, Lord, and receive me in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray for those here today who feel empty, discouraged, and hopeless. Like these women, Lord, they knew who you were. They gave their life to you. They followed you, yet hopeless, discouraged, and afraid. And Father, we know that we can be walking with you in a relationship and still feel discouragement, hopelessness, and fear. I pray for anyone here, Jesus, today who has forgotten your promises because their life has been so hard. I pray for all of us here who are discouraged and hopeless because our problems have become bigger than your word. For anyone that has forgotten the promises of God, God is not done. He will finish what he started. You have just forgotten him. And I know, like Mary, like those women, sometimes we forget about Jesus because maybe our problems are too much. Maybe our life is too good and we forget about Jesus. Father, I pray in Jesus' name you will give them back the heart of worship. Give them the love that they once had for you. Let them remember your promises and come back to you, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Will you give God some praise this morning to those here today?